Okay, before we begin today, I want to start with a question. Now, don't raise your hand yet. I'll tell you when. So have you ever, this is a statement, and have you ever done one of these things? Have you ever given into temptation? Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Have you ever lost your temper? Okay, that's a little heavy. How about this? Have you ever gone over the speed limit? Maybe a little below the belt there. Okay, so how about this? Have you ever eaten one too many tortilla chips so that when the fajitas came, you said, box them up, I'm done? Okay, so if you've ever done any one of those things, raise your hand. Oh, wow, it's a lot of you. Okay. Now, for those of you who raised your hands, raise your hand again if you wish you hadn't done that. Oh, it's almost everybody. We got honest people here. Well, that's what we're talking about today, just to scare you a little bit, as we continue our series, What Our World Needs Now. And in this series, as we concluded today, we've been talking about what our world needs now is for those of us who are followers of Jesus to embody and act with the fruit of the Spirit. This list of qualities the Apostle Paul has given us that helps us act and react Christ-like, that our actions towards others would be like Christ, would reflect Jesus to the world. That's what our world needs now. Specifically, these are what they are. These are reactions produced through us as a result of our submission to God's Spirit within us. We can't produce these on our own. Only God's Spirit can cultivate these in us. Now, there's some things we can do to make these things happen. Now, what is this specific list? Well, for the final time, let me show you. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when you read that list, wouldn't the world be better if every kid in the world had those qualities? Wouldn't it be better if your coworkers, your boss, our nation's leaders, wouldn't the world be better? I mean, let's be honest. Wouldn't it be better if those of us who are followers of Jesus, even us, had all those qualities? If we acted and reacted with those things, this world would be so much of a better place, and it's what our world needs now. So as we finish today, I want to point out something that Paul says. He starts off with the word love, and love encompassed all of these things. All these things feel loving towards other people. But then he ends with self-control. He ends with this thing that sounds so different than the rest of them. And I believe self-control is actually the filter for the rest of these qualities. And you know what self-control is, we know what when we don't have self-control, a lack of self-control is. It's when we do something, say something, eat something, look at something, and wish we hadn't. For example, it could be as simple as how I have a lead foot. So as I'm driving, I see a speed limit sign. I'm like, oh, look, there's the speed limit. And then I look at my speedometer. I'm like, oh, brake, right? And I slow down. Or it's as simple as how I love desserts. Man, you put a dessert in front of me, I'm going to eat it. Blueberry pie, key lime pie, chocolate covered bacon, a cream puff, whatever it is. I am going to thoroughly enjoy it and not have any self-control and feel complete regret afterwards. And listen, I can't help it. I learned to drive in Miami and I'm Indian. It's just natural for me to speed. And then on top of that, whenever I come home, my daughter loves to bake. And so she's baked something new. I got to be that good dad, right? And take a bite. The problem is she's good. Like the things she bakes are fantastic. So I take one bite, two bites. I finish a slice of cake. Now I have another. And so that leads to my cycle of regret and guilt. And it could be as simple as those things in your life, or it could be as serious as you wish you hadn't posted that thing when you were angry. You wish you hadn't gone over to their house. You wish you hadn't drank too much. You wish you hadn't looked at that, or you wish you hadn't lost your temper again. And we live in this cycle of we try and we say, next time I'm not going to do it. And we try and we try and we try. But the problem is, when we try to have self-control every single time, we fail many times and we feel terrible, don't we? And we live in this vicious cycle of, you know what? Next time that situation comes up, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to fall into. But then when that situation comes back up, we don't. We give in. We fall into. We give up. And we wonder why we can't. Why we can't stop. Why we can't have self-control. Why this thing keeps having control over us. And we live in this angst that we can't understand. To illustrate it, I've got a pitcher here full of water and some other things. The water, this pitcher represents us. And the water is the good things that we want to do. It's all the good we want to do because I believe we want to do good things. But the rocks are the things we try to have self-control and we try to filter ourselves over. And here's what happens. When we try to self-filter, we're able to get the good stuff out and we're able to catch sometimes the bad stuff, but not every time. Because in this bowl, there's still some of the things that we didn't control where we tried to have self-control. And that represents what happens to us. It's sometimes it works. Sometimes we're able to get to this place where we're like, I did good. But then some days we live with regret and we wish we didn't give in. And we do this over and over and over. Now, this is nothing new. Everything I'm saying, you're like, yes, I know this. And in fact, this is nothing new even to us today. This has been a problem for humanity of how to filter, how to have self-control every time for years. In fact, right before the Apostle Paul introduces the fruit of the Spirit, he actually tells us why this is a problem for us, why we can't have self-control every single time. Here's what he says. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil. And this sinful nature is our inherent nature. Our inherent nature is wanting to do evil. Now, when you hear evil, it's not, we talked about this in the goodness message. Evil is not, I want to wake up and hurt people today. Like, that's my goal in life. No, that's not, that's what you think of when you hear evil. But the word evil is actually not of your original design. See, we were made in God's image. So our original design is to reflect our Heavenly Father. But Paul is saying, our sinful nature is what's causing us to do evil. Our natural bent is to do what satisfies our own cravings and to feel like we're in control. And he continues and he says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. As followers of Jesus, for those of us who have the Spirit within us because we're a follower of Jesus, the sinful nature wants to do opposite of what the Spirit does. The Spirit wants to do good. It's the good things you want to do. It's the water. It's the good things that you actually want to allow to come out of you towards others and even towards for your own benefit. And he continues and he says, and the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So here we go. He's setting up the tension. He's saying our sinful nature is doing the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. And then he says this. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. You ever felt like that? Where you've got this sinful nature to do your desires, to give into those things, but then you're like, I don't want to give into those things, but I keep giving into those things. I hate what I do and I do what I hate. And the Spirit is like, no, you were designed not to do that. You were made in the image of your Heavenly Father to act and react Christ-like with the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you were designed to do. But there's this war going on within you, and you're making thousands of choices every single day. This is why we're exhausted at the end of the day. It's not because of your annoying coworker. It's not because of traffic, and it's not because of your kids. Well, I guess it could be some of those things. But because every single day, you have a battle, a war waging within you, and you are trying to do what's right. You're trying to do what's good. You want to do what the Spirit wants to do, but this sinful nature has cravings. It has desires, it has inclinations, and it keeps winning half the time. Because at the end of the day, you're tired, aren't you? We're tired of fighting. We're tired of this war, that this is why we're exhausted. And so Paul ends and he says, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Because of this war, you're not free anymore. Your flesh side, some translations calls it the desires of the flesh. Your flesh side, your sinful nature, your natural bent keeps on winning. And so you're not free to do the good things you want to do. And what Paul is saying is we've become a slave to our desires. And because of that, because we have a slave every single day at the end of the day, because we're so exhausted with this war, we give in. We give up. And we just can feel like we're constantly swimming upstream. And we're like, we're tired. And we're tired of fighting this war. And it's not our fault. A lot of times, culture is fighting against us, right? Culture tells us, you do you, boo-boo. You're like, you do what you want to do. Please yourself, satisfy yourself. And so we're even fighting against culture to do what the Spirit wants. We keep giving in because that is easier. Do you feel that angst that Paul's talking about? I feel this every single day, almost within certain moments, within certain situations, I feel this tension. And this is the reason we try to have self-control and we don't. And some things we try to filter, but some things still go through. And then we go into this cycle where we go, I don't want to do this, but I do it. Then I feel guilty. I'll try harder next time. But then I do it and I feel guilty and I'll try harder next time. And then it becomes an addiction. It becomes a habit. And then we wonder how we got to the place we got to. And we live in this cycle of shame and of regret and of guilt. And here's the problem, though. If we don't address it, this lack of self-control, we start projecting that onto other people. We start looking at other people and wishing we were more like them, or maybe they make us feel like a failure. So we become jealous, or we start becoming angrier with the people around us because we're not happy with who we are. And that's not what we were designed to do. We were never designed to be a slave to our desires. If we truly reflect the image of God, Paul says we should have freedom. In fact, that's his thesis statement for this whole chapter. Here's what he says. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Paul's saying, you were never meant to be a slave. You were never meant to carry that weight. You were supposed to experience the free life, the full life that Jesus talks about, that he set you free from that law. What's that law he's talking about? Well, it's this law of living up to your own self-effort, to this law of having to earn God's love. Because see, before Jesus came, the law was led to sin and death. And so they would have to make animal sacrifices. They would have to keep the law to a T of what God expected. And if they didn't, they would experience separation from God. But thanks to Jesus, when he came, he gave us a new law. A law where we don't have to uphold God's standard completely. Now, there's freedom in that when we live to God's standard, but he's saying God no longer holds that standard against you. In fact, when he looks at you, he is pleased with you. He offers his grace and mercy towards you because of Jesus. And so that standard, Jesus fulfilled it. And because of that, you don't even have to hold up to your own standard. Because how often do we try to have self-control to keep a standard and we fail and we feel terrible? And what Paul is saying is, no, that's not why Jesus came. Not for you to keep trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing and live in that cycle. He's saying, no, for freedom, Jesus has set us free. So you no longer have to keep striving to worry about filtering and to feeling guilty because you can't measure up. But the reason we don't feel free, because when we look at freedom, we're like, oh, freedom means I can do whatever I want. I have complete freedom. And so when we look at self-control, we're like, oh, this is restrictive. That's not freedom. That's not the full life, having restrictions. And so we've kind of not, we don't understand what freedom really is. Let me give you this example. Imagine if you gave a four-year-old complete freedom with no restrictions. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire, right? It's like, oh my gosh, like they might run into traffic. They might hit other people. You don't have to definitely tell them to be selfish. You don't have to teach them the word mine. A four-year-old knows that word inherently. You have to teach them how to have restrictions by sharing. And many times that's what we think of when we think of freedom. We think of complete freedom. I can do what I want, but self-control, there's restrictions. And I don't like having restrictions on my life. I want to do what I want to do. But here's the thing. When you look at self-control as restrictive, not as actual freedom, well, then if we have self-control, we aren't slaves to our desires. That's actually where we feel more free. Because freedom without self-control turns to bondage. It gives money, sex, substance abuse, anger, all these things, they begin to have control over us and we become the slave instead of the master. But God wants us to be the master over our desires and emotions. We don't need to be slaves to them and be controlled by them. We were designed, we were given a sound mind, Jesus tells us, to have that kind of control. So we don't have to keep living in bondage. We don't have to submit to that yoke. But the thing is, we don't understand that. We don't understand. We don't know that there's a better way. We keep giving in over and over, and we live a life like this. We keep giving over and over to our desires, to our flesh desires, to our natural inclinations. But there's a better way. Paul actually gives it to us in the same breath. He tells us the better way so that we can know how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit and have self-control every time. Here's what he says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you see the power in this statement? Actually, I didn't when I first read it. When you read this, you're like, what does that mean, Paul? That's super confusing. So what I want to do is I actually want to break this verse down how I do my personal study to get application out of a verse. And I want to show you how I do it so it'll help you understand the power that of what Paul is trying to help us understand. So we're going to go pretty much word by word to show you how I study and to hopefully help you understand how to have self-control. So Paul says, so I say let. So that first word is let. It's the word means to allow, to give up, to let something have control. And Paul's saying, let. Now with this word, when you look at that word, you're like, I don't like to give up control. I have control. I have self-control. We all believe we have control, but let's be honest with each other. Control is an illusion, isn't it? Control is like trying to grab water. Can you control the person driving in the car next to you on the freeway? Can you control your coworker? Can you control your adult children or any children, by the matter of fact, right? Control is an illusion. It's not, we believe we like to have control and we think we want to have control. So when Paul says, let give up control, no, we don't want to do that. But Paul's saying, this is what you need to do. You need to have control because here's the thing. Every night when your head hits the pillow, you feel one of two ways. One, I did good today. I didn't yell. I didn't give in. I didn't give in to that temptation. Or it was a bad day. I gave in. I gave up. I ruined the relationship. I wish I hadn't said that. And we replay the scenario over and over, which leads to a cycle of guilt, shame, regret, anxiety, pain. And just to wake up the next day and wonder if we're going to do it all over again. And Paul is saying, no, you have to let, you have to surrender, you have to let completely give over and submit to what? You've got to let the Holy Spirit. So we're letting who? The Holy Spirit. We're giving complete control over to the Holy Spirit. Now, what are we letting the Holy Spirit do? Guide. We're going to let the Holy Spirit guide, which means to direct, to be in charge, to lead. Think of a guide. Anytime you have a guide, you trust them to take you where they're going to take you, wherever they're going, and you're going to follow. We're going to let the Holy Spirit direct and to be in charge. This is what walking in the Spirit looks like, what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul is telling us, give up, allow the Holy Spirit complete control to guide you, to direct you, to be in charge. Now, what is he going to be in charge of? What are we letting him lead us in? It's going to lead your lives. Now, do you notice he didn't say, let the Holy Spirit guide your temper? Let the Holy Spirit guide what you look at on your phone? He didn't say a specific instance. No, he said, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. He's saying all of it, not just a part of it. Now, we don't like that because we like to have control sometimes, don't we? But he's saying, if you want this to work, you have to surrender the whole of you, your whole life, not just a part of it. Otherwise, this will never work. And so to wrap up that first statement, he says, so let the Holy Spirit fully give control over to the Holy Spirit to guide, to direct, to be in charge of your whole being, your whole life, every area, not just a part of it. And now he uses the next word, then. So then is, this is an if-then statement. He's saying, if you followed my advice, here's what's going to happen. Here's what the results are going to be. And so if you do this, then he says, you won't. Now I paid attention to this because the word you won't is actually a negative. Typically in scripture, there's a benefit. You're like, you will, you'll get something, you'll receive something. But Paul is setting up a different tension. He's saying, you won't. And he says this next, which is fascinating. Be doing. So the verb usage, the way it's translated, is actually called a present participle in grammar. Now, you might have come to church going, I didn't come here for a grammar lesson, Raul. Okay, listen, I can't English well, so I had to research this. So you won't be doing. This is so encouraging. He's saying, if you follow my advice, you won't keep living the way you're living. In that cycle over and over and over, hoping to one day stop. He's saying, this is so encouraging. He's saying, it'll end. You won't keep doing that. And this is not a one and done thing. It's not like I made a decision today and it only works for today. No, it's a constant basis. It keeps going. And what won't you be doing? What your sinful nature craves. What your sinful nature, these natural inclinations, these natural desires, you won't do what your sinful nature craves, which is the last word. These deep desires of the flesh, these things that you don't want to keep doing, that you try to have self-control, but the rocks keep going through and you try to filter and it doesn't happen. He's saying, to bring it all together, if you let the Holy Spirit have complete control of your life, direct, guide, lead, then you won't keep doing what you don't want to keep doing. You will stop doing that thing. The things you don't want to do, the things that you keep doing and want to stop. But here's the issue. Our issue is we hear this and we read this and we're like, fantastic. I'm all in. Let's go. You're sitting here like, I'm in. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide my life. I'm going to experience freedom. Finally, I'm no longer going to be a slave to that thing. And I'm going to experience freedom. But yet we like that idea, but then we still put our foot over in this circle where we want to have control over that one thing. We won't give up that one thing. And many times the reason we don't want to give up that one thing, instead of being fully, completely letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives, because we actually kind of like this. It feels good sometimes. Some people at the end of the day, it's a release. Or sometimes you still feel like you have power and control. Because this concept, if you think about it, you're giving up complete control to something that you can't see. That's hard. And so we'll keep one little foot here, or even like a toe in this circle with what we keep dealing with and living in that cycle, wondering why we can't feel free. And Paul is saying, let. Give control over. Allow. That's the only place you're going to find complete and full freedom. Here, you're being mastered. Here, you're being fully free. And you can't just let him have a part of it. You've got to let him have the whole thing. When you do, here's what happens. So when you actually fully, completely give over and surrender and submit to his leading, to his guidance, you will experience freedom in this way. Instead of you trying to filter, the Holy Spirit ends up becoming your filter. And so what happens is everything is kept inside. It doesn't come out. The thing you wish you wouldn't say, the things you wouldn't look at, the things you wouldn't eat, you wouldn't do, doesn't actually come out. And you know what comes out? Is who you were meant to be. The Spirit comes out, and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, not because you've had self-control, but because the Holy Spirit becomes your filter and gives you his strength to have self-control. Here's what this looks like practically. When you're in a moment where you are about to do something you don't want to do because you've done it before and you know what happens if you do it, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop you from doing it. It's not like, oh, poof, everything's perfect. He removes your mind from the situation. And in an instance, he says, you've let me, so let me. Let me guide you. Don't be a slave. Don't give into that right now. You have a choice to make. You are the master. You are not a slave to this desire. And when that happens, it causes you to have control, have self-control. Not because you actually have self-control, but because the Holy Spirit gave you the strength to have self-control. This is why this is a fruit of the Spirit, because you can't develop it in yourself. We've tried, haven't we? You've tried, haven't you? But instead, the Holy Spirit becomes your filter and allows you to have self-control. I recently went to a conference, and this conference I went to get better for you all, to learn how to speak better. It was all about preaching. Who knew that you could do a two-day conference on preaching? It showed you the structure, how to craft messages, how to look at scripture and study scripture. But something happened during that conference that had nothing to do with the actual conference. By the way, this is how the Holy Spirit works. He comes up and shows up randomly and illuminates something in your life and convicts you when you let him guide your life randomly. And he did that while I was at this conference. I was sitting there and he said something to me and he illuminated something in my life that I had not let the Holy Spirit guide my life in. I had been trying to have control over here. And it was causing me to live in this cycle of stress, of anger. I was trying to control people, trying to do things, I was saying things I would regret. I was giving into things. And I was like, I just want to stop. I want that freedom. I've been talking about that. I've been preaching about. And that's how the Holy Spirit and I talk. He reminds me of that. And at that moment, I had this realization that I had been living too in both circles. And this is why my bowl looked like this. This is why my life looked like this. And so I said at that moment, you're right. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to submit. I'm going to give control over to let you guide my life. And at that moment, I felt free. I felt like I was no longer a slave. I was no longer in bondage. Now, I would love to say that everything was perfect. I never gave into anything ever again till up until today, right? But it's not. Because this is a daily decision you'll make today, but it's a decision you'll make today, but a daily submission every single day. But now here's what happens. The Holy Spirit, whenever I'm in a situation, will do what I told you he will do. He'll pull me out of it and he'll say, you have a choice to be a slave or to be a master. God has designed you to be a master over your desires and your emotions. Don't give in. And then it's my decision if I give in or not. And when I don't, and when I feel like I'm going to lose my temper, when I feel like I'm going to yell or I'm going to do something I'm going to regret, he pulls me out of it. And because of that, now I can walk in freedom all the time. And I don't, and you can have that experience, that same freedom, because here's the thing. It's easy to wake up every day wondering what you're going to do and if you're going to filter. But instead, when you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, you wake up not worrying about that. You wake up knowing he's going to be there with you, guiding you every single step of the way, saying, I have chosen to submit to freedom in Christ because that's where I get to walk. And so now, when you do that, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness, because the Holy Spirit has given you self-control. And that's what letting does. That's the benefit of letting. And it frees you from that tyranny of trying to do this out of your own effort. And so basically what I'm trying to say is this. You've got to give up control to have self-control. You've got to. You've got to give up complete control in order to actually gain self-control. Because if you don't, you're still living as a slave. You're still living in bondage to your desires, to your emotions, but instead you can be the master and live in the freedom and walk in the freedom and the grace and the mercy that only your heavenly Father offers you. Because we've tried all the things, right? We know what it takes to have self-control. We've put up guardrails in our lives. We've had accountability. But as we know, sometimes those have limitations. And what Paul is saying, do those things, that's okay. But ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who will guide you to have self-control. So make that decision today. And then every day, walk in that. Keep in step with the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, it's the things we've been talking about in this whole series. Pray, read your Bible, spend time with Jesus, listen to worship music. But I want to give you one thing that I like to do that helps me in the moment. I start my morning that way, but something in the moment that will help you, help the Spirit have control. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so I memorized scripture when I heard that to help me not give into temptations, to not give into those desires of the flesh. One of the ones I use is 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way for you to stand up under it. And what that does is when I quote that verse, it brings me back to that moment I had at the conference when I said, okay, I'm going to let. And because of that, I don't have to give in to that temptation. When I feel out of control or not in control, I quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And that recenters me to allowing the Holy Spirit to guide my life. Because I've given him control. I don't have to have self-control. He helps me through his strength have self-control. So for you, whatever verse it is, it could be one of the ones we talked about today. It could be anything that helps surrender your mind and your heart back to God's Spirit living within you. And when you do that, you'll be able to walk with your head held up high, not down in shame and regret, wondering when someone's going to find out. But instead, you'll walk in freedom that only he can offer, because you won't have to worry about filtering. He'll help you do it. So when you feel like you're losing your temper, you're giving into that temptation, the Holy Spirit will help you have self-control. And then what will pour out of you are the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll act and react Christ-like, which is what the Spirit wants for you, which is what you were designed to do, to help the world around us. Don't you want that? Don't we all need that? So let the Holy Spirit guide your life so you won't be a slave. You'll be in control. And if every single one of us does that, this world will be a better place, because that's what our world needs.